Good morning. Welcome to you to the Lord's house this morning. It's good to see all of you. If you haven't already done so, please sign the little friendship register at the end of the pew and pass it on for your neighbors down the row. And if you're a first-time visitor with Berry Christian Church this morning, we'd like to say a special word of welcome to you, and we'd like to honor your presence with a small gift that Lana will bring to you where you're seated if you'll simply raise your hand so we can find you. Any first-time visitors, please raise your hand. Awesome. Good morning, folks. Thank you for being here. If anybody would like some additional information about our congregation and ministries, there's a little tan-colored information page inside the bulletin that you can fill out and place in the offering tray toward the end of the service. Please note the bulletin insert containing information about Vacation Bible School, which will be here at Berry on the fourth week of July. That's July 23rd through 27th. We're encouraging you to please register your children, grandchildren, neighborhood children by calling the church office. There's also a sign-up sheet in the back if you'd be interested in volunteering. We could certainly use the help. Our June Sundays are called Undie Sundays as we're collecting underwear and socks for school-age children for the Clay County Clothes Closet to be distributed before the start of the new school year. The collection box is located back in the foyer. Please also note that we will be collecting school supplies in the month of July. And men, please remember the June men's gathering, which will be on Thursday, June 21st at 6:30 in the fellowship hall. And ladies, please note the announcements in the bulletin announcement page concerning the upcoming installation of CWF officers and the CWF regional event, both of which occur later this month. We'd like to say a special word of thanks to Barb Mayberry and the Hospitality Committee for the wonderful Father's Day breakfast on Saturday. Thank you folks so much. It was very nice. Thanks again, Barb and the Hospitality Committee. Do we have any other announcements this morning? Yes. I don't know. I'll have to look after service. The box for Undie Sunday? Oh, it's, yeah, we'll figure it out after service. Yeah. All right. Andrew.
Please rise for the call to worship. Let us go up the hill of the Lord. He will teach us what he wants us to do. For the Lord's teaching comes from Jerusalem. From Zion he speaks to his people. Let us sing hymn number 552, stanzas 1 and 4.
Standing on the promises of Christ my King, through eternal ages let his praises ring. Glory in the highest I will shout and sing. Standing on the promises of God, standing on the promises of God, my Savior, standing. I'm standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises, I cannot fall. Listening every moment to the Spirit's call. Resting in my Savior as my all in all. Standing on the promises of God. Standing on the promises of God, my Savior. I'm standing on the promises of God.
May we bow in prayer. Lord God, we give thanks for this opportunity to come into your house this morning. We are grateful to experience the blessings and joys of the children in our presence as we dedicate several of them into your kingdom during each of our services today. And as we begin our worship now, Lord, we pray we can feel the loving presence of your Holy Spirit to bring us closer in relationship with Jesus Christ our Lord, in whose name we pray. Amen. Please take a few moments to greet those around you and welcome each other to worship this morning. Please be seated. Please be seated. I would like to invite the Jacobo family to come up to the front for just a few moments, please. Jacobos, come on up. And they keep coming. Is it just me, or did half the congregation just arrive at the front of the church? What a delightful opportunity we have today to welcome, in a more formal way, two more children into our midst. We had a young lady this morning, Kit Miller, who was dedicated to the Lord, who was born about 5 or 6 weeks ago. As you can see, these children were born a little more than 5 or 6 weeks ago. And they came to the Jacobos through adoption. I'd like to introduce to you Mr. Eli Romeo Jacobo. And Jasmine Kalea Jacobo. They both came to the Jacobos family after about, 5 days old, I believe? Yeah. And so Eli is now 3 and a half, and Jasmine is 2 and a half. And so I'd like to ask the family a few questions, if I may. Do you promise, with God's help and the support of your church family here at Berry, to recognize these children as a gift from God and dedicate them to the Lord and raise them in the ways of the Lord and nurture their relationships with Jesus Christ as best as you are able? We do? All right. Now, I'd like to ask the older children a question as well. In the event that your mother or father is no longer able to care for these children, do you promise, with God's help and the support of your church family here at Berry, to continue to care for them and raise them as God would intend for them to be raised? You do? Okay. And congregation, I would like to ask you all a question. Do you promise, with God's help and with the support of each other, to help nurture these children in their relationships with the Lord and to love them and their family unconditionally as God intends for us to do?
We do.
All right, awesome. We have a little gift to share real quick, if I can sneak in behind you all here. We have a beginner's Bible for Jasmine and for Eli. I will let Annabelle carry those back. And also we have a little daily devotional. This is for the older children and the parents to share with Eli and Jasmine as time goes on, one a day. And we hope that you will find these to be uplifting and rewarding. And we thank you for your work with children in our community, for adopting these two beautiful children, giving them a safe home. May we all bow in prayer. Hold that. There we go. Gracious God, it is our privilege to welcome these children into the house of the Lord. We pray, Lord, for the strength and the wisdom to nurture them in their relationships with you. And we thank you for this family that has come to care for these children. Lord, we ask for the wisdom and the strength to nurture this family as they nurture these children. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Can we give them a hand? I see some cameras. You have to have your panoramic lens, I think, to get all this family in. Thank you, folks. You may be seated. Yeah, the children can stay up here for the children's sermon, and the rest of the children may also come forward for the children.
Strong, gentle children, God made you beautiful, gave you the wisdom and power you need. Speak in the stillness all you are longing for. Live out your calling to love and to lead.
Good morning. I love it when my stage is full. Yeah. What have I got here? Butterfly. How many of you think butterflies plot? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, let's try that again. How many of you think butterflies are beautiful? I think they're beautiful. Do you know how many different kinds of butterflies there are? 1,000? Nope. More than that. 165,000 different kinds of butterflies. Not butterflies, different kinds of butterflies. And each and every one of them are beautiful. They've got colors and patterns in their, they're different sizes and different shapes. Their wings are not all shaped the same. Do you know how small the smallest butterfly is? What? What do you think?
In second grade, I think it was, it started with, I think.
Butterflies like milkweed. Yes, they do. The size, nope, even smaller. It's about less than half an inch. About the size of your little fingernail. That's how small the smallest butterfly is. About a half an inch, a little. And the biggest one is about the size of this. Now, they don't live here. They live in the tropics. But every single butterfly God made, he made them special. He made them beautiful. He made them different colors and different sizes and different shapes, and he made them live in different places. Do you know what the butterflies remind me of? When I see butterflies, reminds me of my full stage. All my beautiful kids, God made every one of you. He made every one of you special. He made every one of you beautiful. He made you different sizes and different shapes and different colors and different ages. And he brought you from different homes. And he brings you all here so that all of us can smile and know how wonderful God is, because he created all you beautiful children. It's wonderful. You just always have something to say, don't you, Joseph? Yeah, I know. Can we thank God for my beautiful kids? Every one of you. Every one of you God made special and beautiful just the way you are. Always remember, you're beautiful and we love you. Can we have a prayer? Dearest Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the wonder and the beauty that are our children. Please help us to always seek your guidance in raising them and encouraging them and reminding them how special and how beautiful they are. Each and every day, we pray for your guidance and your love in our lives and theirs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Thank you, Kathy. Thank you. As we are privileged to go before God this morning, it certainly is a time for us to rejoice, as Kit was dedicated in the early service, and Eli and Jasmine in this service. We just praise God for that privilege. We also, this week, we want to lift up Dan Carlisle. He is the son of Juanita Wyckoff, and Dan is looking to have an eight-hour-long surgery for throat cancer at KU on Wednesday of this week. So that's going to be quite an extensive concern for Dan. Please remember him in your prayers, and we'll keep you all updated on his progress through the prayer chain this week. We lift up Emily Boswell as she's recovering from a cataract surgery, which is quite significant because she's also dealing with macular degeneration, and so eyesight has become more and more of a concern for Emily. John and Dorinda Hoke, we continue to pray for John, especially in the midst of his treatments at KU. Again, he's making good progress. They were in worship this morning at the 8:30 service and making good progress. Freddie Nichols is now home with home health care, helping her on a daily basis. Give Freddie a call. I know she'd just love to hear from you, or a visit would certainly be appreciated. We lift up Sheila Killian. Sheila, we're delighted you're here this morning, but we also remember you in prayer as you are looking to go to the Barnes Jewish Hospital in St. Louis starting Sunday the 24th of this month, as I recall. Sheila, God bless you. Keep lifting you up in prayer. Gwen Staffney's sister Susan is in our prayers, as well as Patty Miller in the midst of her recovery, Luella Scott's daughter, Joellen Foreman, and Peggy and Jerry. Again, it's a joy to see both of you. I hope you all are making a good level of recovery, and delighted not to have those stairs anymore, right? Praise God for that, yeah. May we go before the Lord's presence in prayer this morning. Merciful and loving Father, we rejoice in the privilege to worship you this Lord's Day, for the opportunity to dedicate children of our congregation to your loving care and guidance. And guide us, O God, in our words, our deeds, that the example we strive to uphold to the youngest among us can be a beacon of assurance, hope, and encouragement as they endeavor in their own personal ways to be a living witness to your glory here on earth. As Paul guided Timothy, as Moses encouraged Joshua, as Naomi offered hope to Ruth, we pray, O God, that your Holy Spirit will guide our every thought, word, and deed in such a way that the generations that follow us will see the light of your living presence through our examples. And most of all, O God, as each of us make our way through our life's journey of faithfulness to you, may we find our greatest assurance in the guiding presence of your Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ. and also through the blessing of your Holy Spirit. For as Jesus promised us in John chapter 14, we are blessed with the presence of the Helper, the Holy Spirit, sent by the Father to teach us everything and to help us remember the ways of Christ. We offer these words in thanksgiving, O God, as we also remember the prayer our Lord Jesus teaches us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And Joy, we thank you for having our scripture reading this morning.
Good morning. Our reading this morning is from Psalm 19, verses 7 through 14, and can be found in your pew Bible on pages 488 and 489. The law of the Lord is perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are sure, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is clear, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The ordinances of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, even much fine gold, sweeter also than honey and drippings of the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is your servant warned. In keeping them, there is great reward. But who can detect their errors? Clear me from hidden faults. Keep back your servant also from the insolent. Do not let them have dominion over me. Then I shall be blameless and innocent of great transgression. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Our continued reading is from 1 Timothy 4, verses 6 through 12, and can be found in your pew Bible on pages 1083 and 1084. If you put these instructions before the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ Jesus, nourished on the words of the faith and of the sound teaching that you have followed. Have nothing to do with profane myths and old wives' tales. Train yourself in godliness, for while physical training is of some value, godliness is valuable in every way, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. The saying is sure and worthy of full acceptance. For to this end we toil and struggle, because we have our hope set on the living God, who is the Savior of all people, especially of those who believe. These are the things you must insist on and teach. Let no one despise your youth, but set the believers an example in speech and conduct, in love, in faith, in purity.
Your face is beautiful, and your eyes are like the stars. Your gentle hands have healing there inside the scars. Your loving arms, they draw me near, and your smile, it brings me peace. Draw me closer, O my Lord, draw me closer, Lord, to Thee. And captivate us, Lord Jesus, and set our eyes on You. Devastate us with Your presence falling down. And rushing river, draw us nearer. Holy fountain, consume us with You. Captivate us, Lord Jesus, with You. Your voice is powerful, and Your words are radiant bright. In Your breath and shadow, I will come close and abide. You whisper love and life divine, and Your fellowship is free. Draw me closer, O my Lord, draw me closer, Lord, to Thee. And captivate us, Lord Jesus, and set our eyes on You. Devastate us with Your presence falling down. And rushing river, draw us nearer. Holy fountain, consume us with You. Captivate us, Lord Jesus, with You. And let everything be lost in the shadow of the light of Your face. And let every chain be broken from me as I'm bound in Your grace. For Your yoke is easy, Your burden is light, You're full of wisdom, power, and might. And every eye will see You. Captivate us, Lord Jesus, and set our eyes on You. Devastate us with Your presence falling down. And rushing river, draw us nearer. Holy fountain, consume us with You. Captivate us, Lord Jesus, with You. Captivate us with You.
In 1896, a young man aspiring to build an automobile that ran on gasoline was introduced to the renowned inventor of the time, Thomas Edison. Edison asked the young man several questions about his proposed invention and then As Edison banged his fist on the table, he said, "Young man, that's the thing. You have it. Your car is self-contained and carries its own power plant." Years later, talking to a newspaper reporter, the once young man reflected upon that first meeting with Edison and said, "Edison's bang on the table was worth worlds to me. No man up to then had given me any encouragement. I had hoped that I was headed right. Sometimes I knew I was, sometimes I only wondered. But here, all at once, out of the clear sky, the greatest inventive genius in the world had given me complete approval." And so it goes that Edison offered a few words of encouragement to Henry Ford, whose mass-produced Model T transformed the movement of people the world over. Jesus offered a few words of encouragement to his disciples after the Lord's Supper and before his departure into the Garden of Gethsemane, and his words still offer profound encouragement to believers the world over today. "Do not be worried and upset," Jesus told them. "Believe in God and believe also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house, and I am going to prepare a place for you. I would not tell you this if it were not so. And after I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and I will take you unto myself, so that you will be where I am." And so, as you and I participate in the Lord's table this morning, we embrace these reassuring words of Jesus as we realize that through his sacrifice and promise, we are given the privilege to share in the glory of God's eternal kingdom. Our communion hymn this morning, it's number 543, "Blessed Assurance," as we sing stanzas 1 and 3, please.
Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Heir of salvation, purchase of God, born of his Spirit, washed in his blood. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Perfect submission, all is at rest. I in my Savior am happy and blessed, watching and waiting, looking above, filled with his goodness, lost in his love. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior the day long. This is my story, this is my song, praising my Savior all the day long.
And as we gather at the Lord's table, we remember those words given to us by the Apostle Paul when he said, "For I received from the Lord the teaching that I pass on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, he took a piece of bread, gave a prayer of thanks, broke it, gave it to his disciples, and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in memory of me.' In the same way, after the supper, he took a cup, gave thanks to God, and gave it to them, saying, 'This cup is God's new covenant, sealed with my blood. Whenever you drink it, do so in memory of me.' And this means that every time you eat this bread and drink from this cup,
you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again. May we bow our heads in prayer as Anna leads us.
Lord, we come to this table as strangers, but leave as one family in Christ. We are blessed with the cup and the bread. We ask that they fill us with joy and love, and thank you, Lord, for all you provide. Lord, bless these emblems and all who take of them. In Jesus' name, amen.
And these are the gifts of God for the people of God. We welcome you to share this morning.
Thank you.
In Colossians chapter 2, Paul writes, "Since you have accepted Christ Jesus as Lord, live in union with him. Keep your roots deep in him. Build your lives on him and become stronger in your faith as you were taught, and be filled with thanksgiving." Paul reminds us that once we've accepted Christ as Lord and Savior, the gift of salvation becomes the center of our existence and meaning. Thus, everything begins to fall into perspective when we realize that the most significant aspect of life is eternal life. And thus, we are always in the spirit of thanksgiving. And certainly, offering up our tithes and offerings is one way for us to truly express thanks to God for that wondrous gift of life eternal. With these thoughts in mind, Barbara leads us in a word of prayer as we receive our tithes and offerings this morning.
Dear God, thank you for all the blessings you give us in our daily lives. As we look around at all the beauty you provide, we know we will be your shepherds and do your work here on earth. Bless the gifts and the giver. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
God, we pray this offering is used for your purposes now and always. In Christ's name, we give thanks. Amen. Please be seated. You know, what a joyous occasion it is for us this morning to celebrate dedication for Eli and Jasmine. You know, I was just thinking about just how much they both have grown, right? Have you all noticed that? I think, my gosh, I thought, oh my. You know, you all really have to work at the clothes situation for all of your children, don't you? Goodness sakes. You know, just amazed at how much they've grown. It's so wonderful to have you all here this morning, and wonderful at the early service to also have the dedication for Kit. Her name is actually Catherine, but the family's calling her Kit, shorter name to think about. A lot easier to spell, too, right, as she gets a little older. You know, I was thinking, though, isn't it a wonderful joy to be in the Lord's house? After all, here you are in air conditioning, and that's got to be better than being outside right now, isn't it? You know, several years ago, I remember visiting with a lady in my congregation in Lincoln, Nebraska, close to the time of her death. And I asked her, I said, well, now tell me, back in the 50s, when you joined this church, why did you decide to become a part of this particular congregation? She said, Dennis, this was the only church that had a sanctuary downtown that had air conditioning. Talk about theology. Boy, I mean, she had her puzzle pieces right, didn't she? Air conditioning. That was the driving force. But you have to remember, that was early 50s. So praise God for y'all being here in the Lord's house this morning. May we bow our heads for a moment of prayer. Merciful and holy God, we do give thanks for the privilege to have this dedication of Eli and Jasmine. We pray your blessing upon the Jacobo family and certainly for the Miller family too, Lord. And as we are privileged to nurture them in the Christian faith, Lord, we also recognize that your Holy Spirit desires to guide every one of us, that we may have the blessing of the spoken word not only for ourselves, but for one another. It is in Christ's name we give thanks. Amen. Having been born out of wedlock on the 13th of October, back in the year 1870, young Ben had a difficult start for his life in eastern Tennessee. It was a time in which children of questionable parentage were quickly and unmercifully ostracized, not only by adults, but by children as well. At school, no one would talk to Ben. At lunchtime, he found himself eating all alone. He was never encouraged to join the other boys in games or activities after school. Young Ben was quite alone. When Ben was in mid-grade school, a likable Baptist pastor moved into town, and the pastor's encouraging ways had become so much the talk of town among the town's folks, both young and old alike. And as a consequence, young Ben thought, well, I'll go check this pastor out. And so just as the service was beginning, he would sneak in and he'd find himself a spot in the far back part of the sanctuary, and he had a habit of making sure he exited before the pastor got to that, you know, that final invitation song, you know, so that he wouldn't have to be bumping into other people. But one Sunday, young Ben got so caught up in the pastor's words that he neglected to leave early and found himself literally surrounded by everyone as he was trying to make his way out the door. Just about the time he was to get to that back door, Ben felt a big hand on his shoulder. He looked up, and the preacher was looking right at him. You know, you can imagine being younger and all of a sudden looking up at this big guy. And mindful of the rumors and attitudes that the townsfolks had been developing toward young Ben, the preacher asked him in a voice that could be heard by others as he said, "Who are you, son? Whose boy are you?" Ben immediately felt a great weight of ostracizing eyes fall upon him, thinking that even the preacher was now putting him down. But as the pastor looked down at Ben, studying his face, the pastor began to smile a big grin, and he said, "Wait a minute, I know who you are. You are the Son of God." And the pastor went on to say, "Son, you have a great inheritance. Go and claim it." It's been said that Ben Hooper later said of that experience that, "That was the day I became governor of Tennessee, and later I was elected by the people." Because those encouraging words and many, many other encouraging words that followed as he became involved in the fellowship of that church and the nurturing care of that pastor gave him the wherewithal that Ben ended up serving in the Army and served in the Spanish-American War, and then afterward he became a noted lawyer and a public servant. As governor of Tennessee, Ben Hooper made significant improvements in the lives of Tennessee folks because he had known what it was like to live a difficult life. He influenced the passage of laws that limited child labor. He required that wages be paid directly to women workers rather than to their husbands who potentially squandered those wages. He enacted state pure food and drug laws. He authorized counties to issue bonds to establish hospitals and to purchase school property. See, all these things we take for granted now, don't we? But back then, these were life-changing circumstances. He signed measures that required mandatory school attendance for children ages 8 through 14. He ordered county school boards to provide transportation for the pupils. He established inspections of state banks, and he authorized pensions for Civil War veterans and their widows, and certainly accomplished many more humanitarian endeavors throughout his time as governor, all because early in life, a pastor said, "Wait a minute, I know who you are. You're a child of God." You know, all of us really need, especially young in life, but really all the way through life, we need encouraging words from others, don't we? When we're young, it's when we're trying to figure out what to do with our lives or what direction to take, you know, how we can make a contribution. We need to believe that what we're striving to do means something for others. When I was young, my family was one where my father was so profoundly quiet, I heard, you know, there was very little I got out of my father. And my mother made up for it, all her conversation. But my mother, bless her heart, was extremely critical. My mother would find things wrong. So, I mean, I felt like I always had this weight on my shoulders. I used to go over to the Gleason's house, which was chaos, but I felt more comfortable there, you know? So that wasn't very much of a help. School, big, and a lot of crazy things going on. You know, we had just enough money to be stupid as military families, for the most part, which is most of us. But gosh, you know, I'd be sitting in class in high school and a kid just fall out onto the floor because he's so terribly influenced by drugs, he just fall over onto the floor right in the middle of class. Oh my gosh, it's crazy times. I thought, you know, but it was the church. It was in the life of the church that I found people that were encouraging, were nurturing, were loving, and were helpful. And so at Marbach Christian Church, that's the place where I had the opportunity to preach my first message when I was 15. Imagine, 15-year-old given the opportunity to preach at the early service and then the 11 o'clock service. Wow, a 15-year-old. Who, me? Oh, but I remember Mr. Frazier, hardworking farm gentleman, and he came up to me and says, "Dennis, I believe you're going to make a fine pastor. I believe you're called to the ministry. You're going to make a fine pastor." Now, you'll have to decide whether that's true or not. But that's what Mr. Frazier said, you know. But again, words of encouragement that can be the driving force of helping, especially young people, to set an opportunity and a direction in their lives where they can feel like they have hope and an expectation of a good and bright future. We need those words of encouragement. And even as we begin to mature into adulthood and through life, we still need those words of encouragement, don't we? Like maybe it's when you're battling some sort of financial difficulty, or maybe problems with relationships with family members, or maybe it's the fact that you're dealing with a lot of unknown issues of health concern. Boy, you need encouraging words. And so, you know, it really is striking to look at the scriptures and to see how the Scriptures guide us in ways that we should be using the gift of encouraging words for other people. Look at Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. Here Paul says, "Do not use harmful words, but only helpful words, the kind that build up and provide what is needed, so that what you say will do good to those who hear you." So, you know, I bet that every one of you can pause and think back on instances in which people gave you those words of encouragement, you know, that said to you, "You know what? You are a child of God." Made you feel like you had potential. So as we look at the second reading that we had for this morning that Joy read to you, here Timothy, he enters into a relationship with God in the Christian tradition very, very early in life. How did he do that? Through the influence of his mother and grandmother. And then, of course, Paul comes on the scene and begins to nurture young Timothy, helping him to become an evangelist and a pastor. But yet he's still quite young. So who's going to listen to him? You know? But yet in verse 12 of chapter 4 in 1 Timothy, Paul is writing to Timothy, as again they're separated by distance here, and he says, "Do not let anyone look down on you because you are young. Be an example to the believers in your speech, your conduct, your love, faith, and purity." And before that verse, he is lifting up words to the people in Timothy's charge. As he says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, beginning with verse 6, "If you give these instructions to the brothers and sisters, you will be a good servant of Christ," he says to Timothy, "as you feed yourself spiritually on the words of faith and of true teaching, which you have followed. But keep away from godless legends, which were not worth telling. Keep yourself in training for a godly life." He goes on to say, you know, the physical exercise, that's a good thing, but spiritual exercise is valuable in every way because it promises life both for the present and the future. And on he goes, lifting up words of encouragement, not only to Timothy, but to the people in his charge, right? And so, you know, this morning, we've had the privilege to dedicate Kit at the early service and Eli and Jasmine here at the second service. We have the privilege to encourage them as they mature. We have the privilege every day to encourage one another. And that's why the sign outside this morning is from 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. "Encourage one another and help one another," Paul writes, "just as you are now." Right? Praise God. Do you know Christ? If he's not your Lord and Savior, maybe today is your day to come forward and accept Christ in a way that I know your life can be transformed. Or maybe today is your day to come forward and become a part of the fellowship here at Berry Christian Church. As we turn to our hymn of invitation, it's hymn number 323, "Wonderful Words of Life." May we stand and sing all three stanzas, please. 323.
Sing them over again to me, wonderful words of life. Let me more of their beauty see, wonderful words of life. Words of life and beauty, teach me faith and duty. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Christ the Blessed One gives to all wonderful words of life. Sinner, this you the loving call, wonderful words of life. Also freely given, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Sweetly echo the gospel call, wonderful words of life. Offer pardon and peace to all, wonderful words of life. Jesus, only Savior, sanctify forever. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life. Beautiful words, wonderful words, wonderful words of life.
Thank you all for being in the Lord's house this morning. May we offer a word of prayer as we depart. Merciful and holy God, we give thanks for the privilege to have been in your house and to lift up praise and worship to your holy name. May our lives, words, and deeds truly be encouraging to one another as we journey forward with the new day and the new week. It's in Christ's name that we give thanks for our abundant blessings. Amen.
There's within my heart a melody. Jesus whispers sweet and low. Fear not, I am with thee, peace be still, in all of life's ebb and flow. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go. Soon he's coming back to welcome me, far beyond the starry sky. I shall wing my flight to worlds unknown, I shall reign with him on high. Jesus, 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 sweetest name I know, fills my every longing, keeps me singing as I go.